Pastor Ray Bentley says we should intercede for others just as Jesus intercedes for us before the Father.
Jesus loves you, therefore he talks. Intercession means prayer. He talks to his Father about you because he loves you. When you and I grow in love, we'll start talking to God about our family and our loved ones. Love for God will bring a love for people in our lives. And when we love people, we will pray for them.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha. Bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. We should talk to others about God, and we should talk to God about others, praying for their needs. There's no better model of this kind of intercessory prayer than Jesus himself. Today, Pastor Ray shows us that Jesus is actively engaged in heaven, interceding on your behalf and mine.
Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 7. And we're going to talk about Jesus as the perfect priest. He's our priest forever, our high priest forever. All right, beginning in verse 20, it says, "And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, 'The Lord has sworn and will not relent,' you," talking of the Messiah, Jesus, "are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety or a guarantee of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood." Thank God that I have and you have a priest who is perfect. He knows everything. He's not praying out of a limited knowledge. He understands everything. And he knows exactly what the will of God is and what is best for me, for my family, my children, my grandchildren, for the people that I love, for my friends. He knows exactly, and he prays in that way with no limitations at all, our perfect priest, Jesus, after the order of Melchizedek. And the writer of Hebrews says he is the divine guarantee of the new covenant. Now, the old covenant, and so again, the writer of Hebrews is comparing. The old is there, and it's valid, and we should read the law, and we should read the Old Testament. It is filled with Jesus. But also, even in the Old Testament, it was prophesied that God was going to give a new covenant and a better covenant to replace the old one. And the reason God gave the law was to teach us, summary, two things. One, the radical holiness of God, and to the radical sinfulness of men. It was a schoolmaster to lead us to plead for God to give us a better and a new covenant. And the guarantee is that whereas the old covenant failed to make anyone righteous, it only showed us that we were sinners, the new covenant will make us like Jesus. Jesus is the guarantee that we'll make it to heaven, we'll be transformed, in the end we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and we'll have his nature and character for all of eternity. Jesus is the guarantee. Now, another problem with the earthly priest system was men died. I mean, Aaron, you know, he was a good priest, and then his sons, but they died. And then there was another generation of priests. And then those guys died, and then new priests would come. The beauty of the new covenant and our perfect priest, Jesus, number one, he is a man, so he resonates with us, but also he is perfect. He is a perfect man, and he is also perfectly God. He never changes. He never has a bad day. He is always the same. You can count on him. He prays perfectly for you. And with men will always let you down. Jesus will never let you down. And there's something so beautiful about that constancy, that evenness. And he intercedes for us, and he loves us, and he prays for us continuously. Now, God gave with the new covenant. Here's another thing that the writer of Hebrews says. The old covenant, the priesthood was given, but there was no oath. The new covenant, God actually swore an oath. And he says, I'm never going to change my mind. He says, I will not relent. I will not change my mind. Once you have Jesus as your priest, you have him forever. You are eternally my sons. You are eternally forgiven. You are eternally accepted in him. You are eternally given his righteousness. And you have an eternal future in my Father's house, where there are many mansions that Jesus prepares for us. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful and a marvelous thing. I love that sympathetic resonance. We've got a piano over here. If I had another sister piano over there, I could walk up to that piano, play the middle C, and over here, without anyone being there and no one touching the piano at all, the middle C string would vibrate and hum, and the note C, very gently and lightly, would ring. And it's called sympathetic resonance because it's the exact same instrument, the exact same note. It vibrates in unison. They're connected. And in that way, your body is the human instrument. Jesus, your priest, also has still a human body. And how good it is that at the right hand of the majesty on high, there is a risen, resurrected, perfect, sinless, blameless man. And whatever touches you, whatever affects you, whatever dissonant chord strikes in your life, it vibrates in heaven, and Jesus immediately brings whatever it is that's hurting you, bothering you, giving you anxiety, pressure, worry, concern, and he speaks perfectly to the Father according to the will of God and the Holy Spirit on your behalf and on mine. Jesus never changes, and what a glorious thing that is. Now, look with me at verse 25. Verse 25 says, therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. The Lord is able to save to the uttermost those who live for him. Saving to the uttermost means you will be saved ultimately for all eternity. And why can he save to the uttermost? Because he always lives to make intercession for them. What a glorious truth. I am saved to the uttermost. Because he always lives to make intercession. You want to know something? Jesus in his intercession, sometimes we think, oh, he's just interceding for all the saved people. No, he's not. Jesus intercedes, yes, for those who are part of his family, but he is also interceding on behalf of the whole world that are like lost, prodigal sons and daughters, that they will one day come home and know him. The power of Jesus' intercession is that Jesus prays for us because he loves us. And love for God will bring a love for people in our lives. And when we love people, we will pray for them. You see, Jesus loves you, therefore he talks to his Father about you because he loves you. When you and I grow in love, we'll start talking to God about our family and our loved ones. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 is in your notes. Out of the New King James Version, let's read the scripture out loud together. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Love for God and others produces prayer. The passionate desire for God's will, which is good to be done in the lives of those that we love. And as I mentioned here in your notes, the purpose of prayer is not so much to get things from God as it is to get close to God, to be with him and spend time with him and listen to him and hear his voice and be in his presence. I have found so often that I went to God and I had an agenda and I had a list and I had things and I wanted answers. But in the process of drawing near to the Lord, when I started thinking about him and meditating upon him, how awesome he is, how great he is, and amazing he is, and I kind of forget, my problems become, first of all, very, very small. And he almost, once you experience the presence of the Lord, it's like, you know what, Lord, I just trust you. You give me peace by your presence. When I call upon your name, it's okay, everything's changed. I think of the example of my little grandchildren, especially my two granddaughters, who are, yeah, it must be in the family genes. Let's just say they're dramatic young ladies. And when they cry, ooh, 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 oh, it's so dramatic, you know, and it's over, okay. Oh, wow. Sympathetic resonance right there. Wow. Amazing. That's what I'm talking about. So they'll start crying and they're in tears. And so, and usually their head is down, their little shoulders are slouched over. You reach down, you pick them up, you push back the hair. Anyway, you're wiping away the tears, and finally you look at them, and if you distract them, let's walk outside. Let's go see the dog, Charlie, and what's Charlie doing? And so you go out there, and they're looking, and oh, is he funny or whatever? And they get distracted, and then the next thing you know, they're laughing and they're giggling while their tears are still wet on their face. Everything changes. Why? Because you've connected with them, your presence with them. That's the power of prayer. It's not so much getting the things that we think so desperately we want or need, or the list getting fulfilled. It's the presence of God that brings the power of prayer. It's like when I'm in with the Lord and I feel him and my shepherd's arm is around me, who cares what else is happening or what's going on? He's got it. He's going to take care of it. And I rest in him. That's why Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest. It was an invitation to prayer.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. We so much enjoy hearing from listeners and how these daily studies in the Word have helped them.
Dear Pastor Ray, I love your program and look forward to listening as often as possible. I drive a truck for a construction company, and I try to time my driving for when I know you're coming on. I meet a lot of people of different faiths, such as Buddhist and some atheist. I just want to let you know that your teaching helps me deal with many different types of people.
How have Pastor Ray's teachings helped you in your walk with the Lord? You'd like to hear about it? Write him at ray@raybentley.com. That's simply ray@raybentley.com. And to check out the spiritual growth resources available, go to raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Okay, I'm going to read to you Genesis chapter 15, 1 through 3. And I want to give you an example from the story of Abraham, and I want to make a little connection here. I hope you'll follow me in this. But already in Genesis chapter 12, God had told Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to give you a family more numerous than the stars, and through you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So he's already given that promise. We go a few, chapters down the road. Now to Genesis 15. It says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Notice here, the first concern Abraham expressed to the Lord was for his family, which God had promised would be a blessing to all the nations. But he says, but I don't have a son yet. And everything I have, yeah, you blessed me. But how could his family be that blessing to all the nations of the world if he had no son? Abraham had great possessions. He had great promises. But he was not content with material or spiritual blessings for himself. Abraham cried and he said, Lord, I want you to give me a son, which God would give to him. And part of the reason that God promised the son, but then waits until he gives that promise is because he knew that Abraham would cry out to him, that Abraham would pray, that Abraham would draw near to him. Now think about that. God's ultimate goal in your life is not just so that you know your gifts and you have your calling or you have your ministry, but there's something deeper than that. The meaning of life is to be close to God. It's to know Him, to be in relationship with Him. Then everything else falls into place. And because of the cry of Abraham's heart expressed in prayer, God could reveal things to him. Because Abraham began drawing near to the Lord, and the son did come, but God also began to reveal to him things. And in Genesis, there's a conversation God is having, talking, as it were, in a way that we could relate to. Should I tell Abraham what I'm going to do? I don't know. I think I will. I'm going to tell Abraham what I'm about to do. Okay, let's go tell him. Abraham, there are these two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, and their wickedness is like a stench that has reached all the way to heaven, and I am coming in judgment upon those two cities. Now, it's interesting that the response, what would Abraham's response be? God reveals to him what he is about to do. When Abraham heard that judgment was coming, he immediately entered into intercession. He began to pray. He began to seek the Lord. And as Abraham, and God knew that Abraham would. And what Abraham did is he went to God and he said, wait a second. I have to stop and ask you this, O sovereign Lord. You are a just God. But what I have just heard does not sound just. You are not the kind of God that would judge the righteous along with the wicked. You're just. That's not fair. Then he moves even further and says, and beyond just being just, that it's not just to judge the righteous along with the wicked, you're a merciful God. You have told me that your name is mercy and your character is mercy. And God, in mercy, spare all the inhabitants of these cities in order that the righteous might be spared. That was the heart of Abraham. Abraham was pleading with the Lord, interceding with the Lord based upon his justice as well as his mercy. He did not enter into judgment himself. God would do what he would do. But in telling Abraham what was coming, God was giving him the opportunity to intercede and to pray and to seek the Lord. Now, I believe very much that Jesus could very possibly come in my lifetime. And there's half of me that's very excited about that. I would love to go to heaven and the kingdom to come and finally the prayers of 2,000 years of the church be answered. But I also, on the other half of me, know that the coming of the Lord also means that all the nations of the world will be judged. I also know that the Bible says that everything that can be shaken will be shaken, so that only that which is unshakable will remain. I know that the prophet said the day of the Lord is a day of terror. And therefore, what should be our motivation? Our motivation should not just be, wow, good, Jesus is coming, we're going to heaven, and the wicked are going to be judged. But that God would call us with hearts like Abraham to begin praying and interceding. God, you are just. Do not judge the righteous with the wicked. You are merciful, and on the basis of your mercy, spare all the inhabitants of the whole world that the righteous might be saved, or at least delay it so that others can be saved. And daily to the church should be added those who will be members of the kingdom, and every day there are more that are being saved to the uttermost by the amazing grace of God. Love motivates us to care, and loving caring motivates us to intercede and to pray. Why did God knew how Abraham would respond. He knew that he would intercede. And what was happening is the heart of God was being poured into Abraham as he interceded and as he prayed, so there was compassion. For he knew by experience that he could trust in the justice of God and the mercy of God. And the more we pray, the more our hearts will be consumed with love for others. Romans chapter 8, verse 34 says, in fact, that's in your notes. Let's read this out loud together. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Thank God for that. Let's close with the last few verses, 26 through 28. Just read them to you. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son, who has been perfected forever. God has given to us a perfect high priest, and he gave an oath, mostly because he knew that humanity is a race of liars. We're used to being lied to. And God, if God says something, that should be enough. But God, accommodating our human frailty, says, not only do I give you my word this is true, but I will now swear an oath that once you have Jesus as your priest and you accept his sacrifice for your sins and you let him into your life and to intercede for you, you will be with me for all time and all eternity. Praise the Lord.
Great encouragement today from the book of Hebrews. Pastor Ray Bentley leading our study here on Maranatha Radio. And listen, if you'd like a permanent copy of today's study, get in touch and ask for Jesus is the Perfect Priest. We'll be glad to send the CD your way for a gift of any amount. Mention the title, Jesus is the Perfect Priest. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Hebrews on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. And then, Pastor Ray, we want to make available your booklet called Dealing with Discouragement and Depression. And I'm thinking about my grandmother. She was always so happy and upbeat. One day she told me that she suffered from headaches, not just every day, but every moment of every day. And I was just shocked. You know, she'd never let it show. But with other people, it's very obvious that they're carrying something heavy. How can we learn to deal with those things that bring us down?
You know, that's so good, Dave. I'm glad that you talked about somebody that you know and that is close to you, like a grandmother, and being vulnerable and honest. That's one of the things that I really wanted to be able to do in this booklet is to be honest about myself, my own struggles, my own humanity. Sometimes you have these conversations in your head and you're hearing, you know, the promises of God on one conversation, and then another thought comes and says, yeah, but where is God? And I don't feel God. And what's going on? And these battles going on inside of our heads. Talk about bringing a headache. We need somebody to help quiet down and be able to lead us out of those inner circular conversations. And that's really one of the reasons I wrote this booklet. From my own personal life, my own experience, and in applying the scriptures to my own life, my own struggles, dealing with discouragement and depression. And the Lord really does want to come alongside of us, Dave, and take that argument that brings those kind of headaches into our heads and really quiet them so that we hear the still, small voice of the Lord. And all of a sudden, it's not a debate or an argument going on, but it's that restful, peaceful, this is the Lord. Everything is okay. And we not only hear it and believe it, but we experience it.
All right. Well, we'd like to make this kind of assurance available to you in Pastor Ray's booklet, Dealing with Discouragement and Depression. We'll send it to you to say thanks for your donation of any amount, which helps us to keep bringing Pastor Ray's daily studies to you each day. So write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127, or order it online at raybentley.com.
Well, next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Hebrews. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world.
Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.